listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Time that you are officially on the couch with me, your friendly psychologist, Dr. Michelle. Hey, welcome to the show today. Got a good one for you. Well, we always do. Yeah. We're going to be doing what I call Free for All Friday, where I'm answering a lot of emails that you, listeners, have responded to the show and questions and, you know, just kind of comments and things like that. Because I think it's really important to get back to you on the air live. You know, sometimes we have really great authors and super information and fun stuff like that. But today we're going to be checking out all the emails you sent me. And as usual, I always invite you to call in live if you'd like to the number 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. And, you know, we do not have, like, a therapy relationship, you and I, when you call in and ask questions and stuff like that. We have just information, rational information, you know, kind of like advice, we call it, and hopefully entertainment. So you can learn some stuff and, you know, laugh a little bit and have a good time. I like to keep things light most of the time. I mean, you know, psychological issues and, you know, dealing with relationship problems, it gets real heavy. And that it's kind of a downer sometimes. So I like to keep things light, not to ignore that there are serious things going on, as evidenced by some of the emails today that I'm going to read you. Let me just tell you this. If you want to write me, just like many of the listeners did, who I'm talking about today, you can find me, first of all, on my website, drmichelletherapy.com, drmichelletherapy. Also, you can email me from that. There's a link on there, but let me just give you the email address for the show. It's docmichelle@aol.com. That's D-O-C, Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. And if you have any questions or comments, you know, about anything going on with you, or you want to respond to what somebody said on my show earlier, how to help them with their problem. I always welcome you guys to respond to other people to help them with their problems. Because it's always good to hear from other people objectively. You know, those blog sites and those question sites are always good on the internet. A lot of times you get personal and bizarre help and information. But hey, it's always good to hear everybody's point of view. So anyway, so do write me if you have a question or comment. Now, you can call me live, like I said, if you would like to talk about whatever's going on with you. 323 is the area code. It's Los Angeles area code here. 203-0815. All right, so give it a go if you'd like to do that. We're going to be looking at a lot of emails today, so let's start off. I thought this was really kind of interesting. First of all, this is from Sally. She says, Doc, I've been seeing this 25-year-old guy for about 4 months. All right. I am attracted to him, and I guess he is a bad boy type. All right. But he's nice to me. The sex is great, too. Well, good. Glad to hear that. But I've been noticing that he brags about how much money he has conned out of people, and that sometimes he gets over the top and gets irritable and starts picking fights with other guys when he drinks. Uh-oh. Recently went to a party with him and some of his so-called friends. So-called. Well, I'd like to know more about that. Well, I guess they're so-called friends. We're jokingly calling him the antisocial guy. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. What does that mean by antisocial, and should I be worried about being with this guy? Yes and yes. All right, next question. No, let's move on. Okay, what's an antisocial personality? There's a reason why his so-called friends are calling him this, jokingly, because I guess he has some tendencies. Like you said, he talks about bragging about conning people. What's that about? And what the heck are you doing with somebody like this? Antisocial personality disorder, just for your information. It's a condition. There's a persistent disregard for and violation of the rights of others. All right? And let me just read you some of this stuff, Sally. So you think, does he have some of these traits? And it sounds like he's got a couple of them so far. You know, if he does, do you want to be with somebody like this? I would just say run for the hills. You sound like a nice lady. Get somebody else that's not going to be weird. All right. Here's the deal. Deceit and manipulation are central figures and features of this disorder. That's the antisocial. Okay. The person has to be like at least 18. So you said he's like 25 if you're going to say he's antisocial. If you're going to give him like a, you know, like diagnosis or something. And a lot of times there has to be what's called conduct disorder. All right. That's like if he was a delinquent? You know what I'm saying? Before he was 15 years old. Was he like one of those like delinquents that used to be a bully and hurt other people and hurt animals and do strange and weird things? So check out some of these things here that require him to be antisocial, as his friends call him. Ah, okay, here we go. If he doesn't conform to like social norms, I mean, we don't all conform to social norms, but I'm talking about like legal behaviors. Like repeatedly performing acts that are grounds for arrest. And I'm just not talking about, you know, we all do things that, I'm talking about serious things. All right. Does he lie? Does he have a lot of aliases? Does he have some different names? And the other biggie here, and this is what kind of parked my interest when you said he brags about how he conned other people. Conning other people for personal profit or pleasure is a biggie if you have antisocial personality disorder, all right? Impulsivity is a biggie. The failure to plan ahead of things, just doing. Let's do this. Let's go do this. Let's do. Irritability and aggressiveness is another biggie. You said a lot of times when he drinks, he starts to get in fights with people. You know, one of the parts of this diagnosis is physical fights, assaults, reckless disregard for the safety of himself or others. If he doesn't have any regard for himself when he gets drunk and he starts fighting people, I don't know. Think about the way he treats you in terms of safety. Okay? Does he work regularly? Because, like, the antisocial person, sometimes they can't sustain consistent work. They can't honor financial obligations. Their whole thing is about thinking that they have a sense of entitlement and they can con other people so they don't have to work because it's really below them, and that, you know, they can get away with anything because they deserve it. There's narcissism in there. And also lack of remorse is indicated, like being indifferent to having hurt. Like when he cons people, when he says, oh, he's conned people, if he has any remorse, or does he steal? Does he like rip people off? I don't know what the real deal is with this guy. But, you know, you just have to... You have to really ask yourself some of these questions, Sally, because, I mean, if you're with this kind of guy, go the other way. You're going to just live a life of trouble. You're going to get you in trouble, unless you like the drama. And if you like the drama, then go for it, girl. But just for your info, I was doing a little research on your question here, and about 80 to 85% of the guys who are in jail and the women in jail, usually it's a male like personality disorder. They have what's called antisocial personality disorder. Okay? There you go. And he's not a psychopath, unless he's a murderer or something like that. But I'm you know, those are the violent criminals. But if he's got that I'm going to kill somebody when he's fighting people when he's drunk, if I were you, and I've heard these things about him being happy to con people, and he's aggressive, and his friends call him the antisocial guy. I don't know what you're looking for in a man, but I don't think he's a good one. I think you ought to go the other way. All right, Sally? Head the other way! Hope he's not listening. He'll come and get me. No, just kidding. Anyway, okay, if you want to call in, that was Sally, and give me some comments or anything like that, or if you've had similar experiences, I'd like to hear from you, 323-203-0815. If not, cool, we'll just move along here and keep reading some of the emails I got from people on the LA Talk Radio. You can link on to you know, my email address and my website as well, but if you'd like to write me, you can do so at docmichelle@AOL.com. For the show here. Here we go. This is a good, I really think this is funny. This is sharing a story. She says, this is one of the dates from hell stories. So, and I always ask people to write me stories about dates from hell, which are really fun to read. Because that way, if you think you've had a really weird date, then you can identify with some of these other people and go, whoa, wait a minute. That wasn't so weird. The one I had, this poor lady. Okay, here we go. Doc, the worst date I ever went on was actually the first real date I ever had. Ooh. I met a really nice guy at a restaurant. He was our waiter. All right. We talked for a little while, and he really seemed to click. He had a great personality and sense of humor. He asked for my number, so I gave it to him. He called me a few days later and asked me out to dinner. All right. All right. He picked me up, and we went to a really nice restaurant here in the Los Angeles area. Called the Cheesecake Factory. It's a great restaurant, by the way. The conversation in the car was a little awkward, but I thought it was just first date jitters. We got to the restaurant and had to wait to be seated. The whole time, he never said a word. It was like he was a different person than who I'd met at the restaurant where he worked. Being a very outgoing person, I thought this was strange, but I tried to ask him questions because I thought that he was nervous. He had only one word answers for every question I asked. That's why you have to ask open-ended questions, Julie. Open-ended questions, not questions that are going to get yes or no answers. You see? So, why did you choose to work in a restaurant? Why? Not, do you like working in a restaurant? Because he's going to say yes. Okay, so I'm not giving you a hard time here, Julie. I'm just saying. All right, we finally got to sit down, and he was leaning so far back in his chair. All right, there's body language for you right there. He's freaking out for some reason about something. That I had to lean over the table in order to even hear him. Then he said that his pager went off and that he had to make a call. Do people carry pagers anymore? Is he a doctor? No, you said he was a waiter. Okay, so he got up and he went to the payphone. He didn't even have a cell phone on him. Ah, okay. I think he's, my date returned. His pager went off again, or so he said. I never actually heard it. He left the table again. He returned and then proceeded to leave again. I wasn't sure if he was bored or if he had stomach issues. We finished our dinner and were walking out to his car when he realized that he couldn't find the car. Was he drunk? The restaurant was located in a mall, and we ended up walking around the entire area just to find his car. Apparently they met. No, they didn't. They were together. He couldn't find the car, maybe. She couldn't find the... Were you guys drinking too much? Anyway, she said it was very tense. After what seemed like an eternity, but was actually about 45 minutes, we found his car. Now, I know the date was not going well, but I thought we might go to a movie or something, but he got on the freeway and took me home. He dropped me off at about 9 p.m., right at the time when my girlfriends were leaving to go out. Okay, so I guess she lives with her friends. They were shocked to see me home so early. Well, I just ended up going out with them and having a good time. But to this day, I wanted to tell you that it was the weirdest date I ever went on. I never heard from him again and avoided going to the restaurant where he worked. Julie. She said she liked this guy. This is the P.S. P.S. I was very physically attracted to him. Shall I try to contact him? Was this date just a bad day for him? No! He was a jerk and a weirdo, and he's probably like, what's he got pages for? He's probably living or married or got another woman, or he's a drug dealer. Got pages? He's not a doctor, because you told me he works in a restaurant as a waiter. Maybe he's got two jobs. Anyway, that was a weird date. Thank you for sharing that. Ladies, if you have, or guys, a similar experience like that with someone who even has a cell phone in real life and leaves the table a lot, goes out and has to answer a lot of calls, you don't want to be with that person. That's really rude. Somebody asks you out, and then they're on the cell phone with somebody else or have to get up all the time. Doesn't mean he really has stomach issues. Means he has probably wife or girlfriend issues. All right, let's move on. By the way, if you want to email me, you can do so here on LA Talk Radio. If you want to share, some kind of an experience, just like Julie did, or if you have a question about relationships or anything at all, you find me at DocMichelle@AOL.com. And you can link onto that here on my webpage at LA Talk Radio. And you are officially on the couch here with Dr. Michelle. If you want to call, do so. I'm reading all your emails that I've received for about the last 3 weeks that I have checked out and thought they would be appropriate for on air, whatever that means. The number's 323-203-0815 if you want to call. Let's move on, and this is from Josh. Okay. Do you have some thoughts on cheating? This girl I loved for 6 months cheated on me several times, and I've taken her back. What do I do? Thanks. You get rid of her. You've loved her for 6 months. Josh, can you trust her? Isn't it kind of hard to trust a person who has a history of cheating? Because, I mean, aren't you thinking once a cheater, always a cheater? No matter how much she kind of comes back. I hear this a lot from women. But, I mean, occasionally, you know, the girl's out there fooling around on the guys. Okay? And there's an old saying, I just want you to hear, Josh, that if somebody cheats to get into a relationship, they'll cheat to get out of the relationship. Okay. I wouldn't date somebody who's known for cheating, or if you've just hurt and then forgiven her, she talks sweet talk to you and, oh, forgive me, I won't do it again, because this damages trust between a couple. All right, it damages the ego of a person. Aren't you feeling like kind of dissed? Did it hurt you? You know, did it hurt your self-image and your self-esteem? Did it kind of hurt your self-respect? Well, what I'll tell you, what will hurt your self-respect is constantly taking her back. That you're going to stop respecting yourself, and you're going to get angry at her and yourself for taking her back. So it can kind of mess you up. Don't blame yourself for her cheating unless you're a jerk. Unless you're a mean, nasty jerk. I mean, people who cheat don't blame themselves. They're likely to blame outside factors. I don't know what she says to you, Josh, after she cheats and apologizes and, oh my God, I love you, and all that. But people who cheat usually blame other things like, oh, it just happened. Loneliness. I was drunk. I was high. I was bored. And they're really likely to blame the other person. Like, did you do something wrong, or did you piss her off and make her want to go away? You know, like as if this is an excuse for her actions or whatever. But there's even a chance that she'll blame your relationship or even you personally. So don't listen to the nonsense. You know what? Josh, if you want to be in a relationship with a cheating person, go for it. Do it. Go for it. Enjoy. But I'd say get out. Come on. Several times she's cheated on you. You've taken her back. Why? I think you need to go and get a little talky-talky therapy with somebody and work on your self-esteem issues. And what's making you want to stay with somebody who's going to continually hurt you and make you feel horrible. I think you need to talk about that. Because that's pretty low self-esteem to keep taking someone back who's overtly cheating on you and then tries to make up. She's got something wrong with her, too. That's not okay. It's bizarre. Bizarre. All right, here we go. We're moving on to the next letter here online, DocMichelle@AOL.com, DocMichelle@AOL.com. You wrote me, Doc, I was friends with a girl last year, and then it turned into a relationship. We only went out for a month, but I really liked her. I thought she was the one, until one day she told me she cheated on me with 3 guys in 1 weekend. Oh, here we go again. Here's another cheating email. Nothing major. She said just kissing. But I still broke up with her. Ever since I've quit dating and I have a somewhat of a dislike for women. Uh-oh. And I really hate her. Ooh. I'm starting to think that all women are going to hurt me and are liars. Everyone tells me I'm too young to give up. I'm 20, but I don't care. So many women are phony, and I don't want to waste my sweetness and kindness on people who will just hurt me. And, by the way, I'm not gay. Well, thank you for telling me that. It's okay if you're gay. It's all right. There's no judgment here. No, I mean, when we get hurt, you know, we get angry. And we get soured. I mean, what? Dumper. You did. She cheated on you with three guys in one weekend. Nothing major, just kissing. Get rid of her. Just make her go away. There's really nice women out there. You don't have to worry about this. Just don't let this ruin you against women. There's not all women are liars and are out there to hurt you. You know, why do you see yourself as a victim? Maybe you need to explore that. Why do you see yourself as someone who, you know, is a victim of people like... You are sweet. You sound sweet. I don't want to waste my sweetness and kindness, as you say, on people who just hurt me. There you go. You've answered your own question. Find people who are kind like you and going to be kind, you know, to you and reciprocate, and everything's going to be well in that relationship. You know, I know you're hurt and I know you're backing off and I know you feel, you know, wounded. We all go through that when we get hurt. But don't shut off. Don't shut off and assume that every woman is going to lie to you. Don't be paranoid either. That's creepy. When you first start going out with someone, it's creepy because you're projecting, you know, fear. So you have to just back off on that, heal for a little bit before you start going out again. But don't get all paranoid and weird that all women are out to get you. Don't do that. Don't worry about that. Okay. Let's move on. And if you would like to email me, we're doing Free for All Friday, so I'm reading a lot of the emails that came down to DocMichelle@AOL.com. And I ask you to share dates from hell occasionally. I also ask you to ask me relationship questions. I ask you to talk about anything on your mind. So this is what I'm doing. We're checking out some of the emails that have responded to that. And I hope I can help you right here on LATalkRadio.com as we continue on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle. We're going to talk about... this is cool. Here's a commitment phobe. I love this. Dear Doc Michelle, I've been dating a commitment phobic individual off and on for over a year. And as can be expected, the relationship has been a roller coaster ride. He's always returned with humble apologies, and I've always forgiven him. Boy, we have a lot of forgiveness and problems here with other people. I really like him. I enjoy his wit, humor, and he's very intelligent. I love him, actually, and don't think I'll find another guy similar to me as he is. I would love to settle down, but I'm waiting for him to change so we can finally be together in a long-term committed relationship. Is this wasting my time? What should I do? So for over, let's see, a year, you've been dating him, and it's been a roller coaster ride. I don't know what that means. He always returned with humble apologies. Okay, so what's happening is I guess he's like cheating on you or going out or pulling away from you and not calling you, and then he comes back. Okay. You have to ask yourself some questions. And let me just tell you right now. Cassie, if someone continually causes us pain and grief, this is obviously not going to make you happy. You know, this a commitment phobe. Who wants to be with a commitment phobe? If you want a guy who's going to be committed, then find one like that. You know, why run after somebody who's ambivalent about wanting a commitment? Yeah. It's one thing to call somebody a commitment phobic person, but it's another thing to keep hoping that things are going to be different. And I'm kind of wondering why you think that this is going to change. I think he needs to get some help for his fears of commitment. You know, why is he so fearful? So, this kind of begs the question about your own self-worth. Why do you keep taking this guy back? You got to ask yourself, do I really want a relationship? If so, why should I be with someone who doesn't? All right? You got to ask yourself that. You got to ask yourself, if I really have confidence in myself, why am I with somebody who I have to try to convince to be with? Why would you work so hard? Why would you want that? Okay? You also have to ask yourself, does your own family background support healthy and loving relationships? Kind of think about the upbringing that you had. I mean, you know, we, of course, base our relationships on what we grew up with. Was there commitment issues going on early? Did you have a lot of low self-esteem to be waiting for someone to give all the time? What's that about? You have to check out his kind of family background, too. I don't know what that is, but I just don't know why you keep hanging on to this person. And one of the problems I see with the women who continue on with guys who won't commit is something in their own past has made them frightened of commitment themselves, obviously. So we many times choose our own mirror image when it comes to finding a lady or a man. So if you're with a guy like this, he might be reflecting your own issue right back at you. You know, it's easier for you to be with someone who can't commit. It's a lot easier. And I think that's pretty clear. Walk away. You've gone on with this guy for a year, you say, nothing's changed. So if I were you, Cassie, I'd try to look inward and find out why you've chosen this situation. Maybe you've done it unconsciously. You know, maybe it'll help you grow emotionally in the direction of choosing somebody who can love you and not have issues with committing. We all deserve that. And people usually don't change all that much. So if he doesn't want to commit and he's not already done so, he's got his own issues to work through, or he's just not ready. There's nothing you can do about this, but choose a direction that's more emotionally satisfying for you. You know, and if you want to remain friends, or if you, I wouldn't do that. I don't know. It's just my suggestion. I think sometimes, I mean, there's resentment there for him, right? It's a roller coaster. Do you want the drama? If you want the drama, then stay in it. If that fuels you up and gives you purpose and excitement. But you don't need to be hurt. Get somebody who wants to commit. Only if you're ready. This may be a sign that you're not ready, and it's safer to find somebody who can't. Okay? Think about those things, girl. It's Dr. Michelle. We're on the couch, as we usually are about this time, and this is what I call Free for All Friday here on LA Talk Radio, where I'm reading your emails that you sent me over the last, wow, a whole bunch of piled up, some really good ones over the last 3 weeks involving questions about relationships, comments about dates from hell, you know, questions about people and why they do certain things. So you can also write me if you'd like and comment on some of the people's experiences here and questions. Give them advice. I love your advice out there to help them out, and I'll read that on the air as well. You can just write at docmichelle@aol.com, D-O-C Michelle with two L's, at AOL.com. You just link onto my webpage here on LA Talk Radio, and you can, you know, write me there. Or my website here, it's drmichelletherapy.com. All righty. Let's move on. Let's find a good one. That's another commitment letter. I don't know if I want to do commitment again. All right. You know, this is a little different. We'll just briefly touch on this. Okay, Doc. I always seem to meet and date guys who have commitment issues. Okay. It's kind of like Cassie. I just broke up with a guy who I was with for about 1.5 years and would never talk about our future. He said he didn't like to talk about nailing down plans with relationships because he'd been really disappointed in the past after being engaged to a woman for a year who broke his heart. I tried to encourage him to get therapy for his fears, and he was always there and committed to him. But he didn't open up to me. Let's see here. We're moving on. About how he really felt. Now I'm freaked out about finding guys like him. How can I pick a commitment phobe so I don't have to waste my time? Ah, how can you find a commitment phobe? I see what you're saying. All right. Well, this is a little different from Cassie's email. So let me just tell you some signs that suggest a potential partner might have commitment issues. So you're kind of wondering, you know, why you pick this person and stuff. So, you know, they usually have a history of short relationships, and they may never kind of get married, or the marriages, they bop in and out of them. So here's some signs. Check out some of these guys before you really get serious with them. Do they want a relationship but also want freedom and space? Right? Are they always too busy and independent? Have they had long-distance relationships in the past? Okay. You gotta kind of learn the history of somebody. Are they too fast to move in on a guy or a woman, in your case, that they've been attracted to, and they pursue and pursue, and then when they win the woman over, then they dump her? Are they very charming? You know, this is a real biggie sometimes with narcissistic guys and women as well, but more guys they classify under the narcissism thing. They say and do all the right things, and they can be very romantic. They're very good salesmen. They get their own needs met, but in reality, they have really little concern for other people's feelings. There's a hidden agenda going on, maybe. You're feeling weird about it. They spin stories to justify their contradictory behavior. They tend to limit the amount of time they spend with other people. You know, like with ladies. You have to ask these questions and just get to know somebody. This is what I'm telling you before you want to get into a relationship. If you fear going into a relationship with somebody who's really got commitment issues and not going to be a true guy for you, just remember the word forever terrifies these guys. Okay. Love doesn't scare them, but what love represents kind of scares them. See? And, you know, you'll just get a feel for it. Severe commitment phobics can also suffer from claustrophobia and or personality disorders, like narcissism. Feeling too trapped in a situation. So, what should you do? If you think you might be attracted to a commitment phobe, what should you do? Don't rush into bed. Find out about them beforehand, before you really get attached or bonded to them. Take your time. Listen, like I just said, to sort of a person's history. If you recognize like abusive or commitment behaviors that I just talked about, get out of there. Get out of the relationship. Also, does he like exclude you from other areas of your life and his life? Does he leave you out of stuff? Does he not tell you a lot of stuff? You know, mystery is fun, but it kind of sucks, you know? And you've got to realize that your love and attention won't change the commitment phobic partner, all right? Not needing him and giving him space might, all right? And here's the biggie. Actions speak louder than words. Guys who are going to mistreat you and have commitment issues but still want to cling on to you because they want to know that they can have you. Actions speak louder than words. Believe what the person does, not what they say. Believe what's happened in the past. Just kind of look at the behavior of what's happened in the past. That'll help you. That will help you understand a little bit more about some of these people. All right? This is interesting. We have a huge commitment phobe day today. Wow. Okay. This is Dr. Michelle. You're on the couch with me as you usually are. We're doing Free for All Friday, where I answer your emails that you've written me about relationships, questions, you know, anything. Helping other people out in relationships that we've talked about before. It's nice and really nice to have, information from you. And then I can hopefully help you. And other listeners, too, are great. So if you'd like to call in, it's 323-203-0815. That's the number live here on the air. We're going to move on now. Let's see here. Okay. He just put his name as Steve. I don't know what his real name is, but dear doc, this lady broke up with me after being with her for 3 months because she said I'm too nice. She said, women like nice guys, but they aren't attracted to them in the long run. Because nice guys often don't show the confidence or strength that women are attracted to in more bad guys. All right. I would just be thankful that she dumped you. You know. if you're a nice guy, it's fine. Move on. She says you're too nice. I mean, are you creepy nice? Like trying to please? You know, like a smothering too nice? Because that can be a little weird. But if you're just a nice guy and she wants somebody who's a bad guy, then fine. Let her find a bad guy and she can go through that drama. All right. Now, I chose this other email because this has to do with being a nice guy. Dear Dr. Michelle, I've heard you talk about nice guys on the air and the fact that nice guys do win when they find the right lady. I consider myself to be a very nice guy who also is hardly a pushover. I think a big misconception of the nice guy argument is the general thought that men who are boring should learn to become more of a challenge or less predictable. Now, this is interesting. I like this. I love this response. I, for one, have been in many stable relationships where being boring was not considered a problem. If a man or woman doesn't have the same characteristics they're looking for in a partner, is it fair to put the blame on the opposite sex? All right. If you're looking for excitement and unpredictability, ladies, more than likely your partner will be looking for the same traits in you. Nobody can sustain a serious relationship that is always exciting or unpredictable. Okay, that's true. You know, that's really true. This can happen on occasion, but a majority of life is not exciting and unpredictable. This is why that notion is controversial. I'm not trying to be sexist, but in all fairness, relationships are built on trust and common interests. It's true. I like this guy. If you're male or female and are emotionally secure with who you are, you would not need a person to challenge you or bring all the excitement into your life. True. The notion that it is a man's job to be exciting, unpredictable, and fantastic in bed at best is very shallow and egocentric. Well, I mean, it's not a man's job. I mean, it's nice to have somebody who's fun and has similar interests. All right. I, for one, am not... This is a long email. I love this. I, for one, am not attracted to women who expect me to do all the leading in a relationship or challenge them. I do agree that most healthy women do like a man who is decisive, who is emotionally attentive, and funny, or has a great sense of humor. However, most people who are stable and emotionally mature will not want a needy person who is looking for someone else to change an aspect or shortcoming in their life. Yeah, I like this guy. If what you're looking for is someone to make your life more exciting, ladies, you may need a shrink more than you do a boyfriend. Relationships are about sharing responsibilities. No healthy person, male or female, would stay with a person who is doing all the leading or work to maintain it. You know what, Mike? That's exactly what I've been saying from the top of the show today. Pretty much. I think that's really true. No, I think you're right. I love that. If you have a question or comment about what Mike just said, you can email me here at LA Talk Radio on my email address, which is docmichelle@AOL.com. Because, I think this guy is right on. He's exactly what I've been talking about. And just, you know, you got to have some self-esteem. And if you're looking for someone outside yourself to get, you know, give you the excitement in your life, you got to work on yourself. You know? That's what you got to do. You just got to work on yourself. So, you know, it's just... Okay. All right. Here's another. This is a good one. This is about dating and revealing too much about yourself. And this is about from a lady. Dear Doc, a lot of my friends say that I scare guys who I meet because I tell them too much information about myself on the first few dates. I'm an honest person and I don't have anything to hide, so I don't see anything wrong with being open from the start. If someone doesn't like me, that is their problem. But I feel that by being upfront with them about my life from the beginning, then I won't waste their time. What do you feel about my thoughts on being honest with a guy from the beginning? I'll tell you what, I think revealing too much info about yourself on a first couple of several dates, email, if you're doing the online dating thing or phone conversations, it is not good. It's bad to a new relationship. You know, a lot of times we don't have like a gauge of how we've crossed the line from sharing our details. But some TMI isn't necessarily embarrassing or unattractive. It's just like too much info too soon. You know, it's like over revealing yourself. It's kind of gross. It can be creepy sometime. You know, I mean, does your date really need to know about all your horrible, you know, men in your life or your bad experiences? Or I'd run through your head before, you know, things that you're going to talk about. Just kind of keep it general, small talk, but not, you know, shallow. But don't reveal too much about yourself. You know, if you wouldn't want to hear the story that you're about to tell, you should ask yourself this. You probably should assume that your date doesn't want to hear it as well. So you have to think about these things. You know, I used to have a client who had, I haven't seen her for years. But she was doing a lot better. She had, major depressive disorder. And, she was on antidepressants, and she was doing a lot better, and she was taking good care of herself and you know, kind of getting interests and hobbies and getting out there and taking good care of herself. So, but she found it really important to be sure to tell all these guys that she would meet on these first several dates that she had major depressive disorder. She's like warning them. I went out with this guy, and he was so cute. He was really nice. And I just kind of had to tell him that, you know, I haven't been functioning for like a year. Well, that'll sure keep him in the relationship right away. And don't talk too much about yourself. Okay. So let me give you some tips here. Here's some ways to avoid revealing too much on a date. Here's some tips. Because you're asking me. A lot of your friends say you're scaring guys here. So here you go, Lily. Rehearse. If you're truly a nervous type or you find yourself stressed out about an upcoming date, rehearse. You know what I'm saying? Get some things to talk about. I know it sounds really strange, but just kind of write some things down and don't be too showy. Don't sound too rehearsed. But, you know, write some things down. Rehearse light general talk. Don't go to the bad place of telling them about all the evil things going on in your life and the men who've hurt you. A date is not show and tell time. All right? You put a lot of time into attracting somebody enough to get them go on a date with you. Okay? Don't show off. And also, ladies and guys, this is good information too for you guys, because I hear this a lot from women. Do not show off or talk about how successful or desirable you are or have been. How many women or men you've had in the past. How people think you're wonderful. Because here's the deal. Most people will interpret your cockiness as a lack of confidence. And there's few things less attractive than a person who doesn't have any confidence. See, it's just kind of the opposite. You come off like you're successful and, oh, I do this and I've done that. Yeah, it comes off creepy like you're really insecure. So think about that. Sharing is good. You know, the most important thing to learn is the difference between sharing and blabbing. See, a share and a blab, they look at, they're very different. When you share something with someone on a first date or second date or third date, you're offering it to them as a stepping stone, kind of a jumping off point for conversation. It's done in a gentler voice, and it's you're saying, here, take this fact about me, do with it what you will. Something that's not shocking. You know, I tend to be shy sometimes, so, you know, something like that. All right. Blabbing is talking about how wonderful you are, or how insecure you are, or, like in the case of my old client, how you've been struggling with major depressive disorder, and you can't find jobs, and you can't find other men. That they're going to run for the hills. Not that you can't later on reveal that you have some, you know, issues with chemical imbalance or depression. That's fine. That's wonderful. They need to know, you know, that. If you're taking good care of yourself and you're really working as hard as you can, you'll find the right guy. Okay. And also, I want you to think about this, Lily. Think of a first date as kind of an audition. I know this sounds weird, and I don't want you to get, you know, like phony and nervous and weird and stuff. But it's not really that romantic. But people judge you on the first date based on little tiny details. Right? It's like people reading a book, you know, and you go, oh, this book sounds really interesting. You read the back of a book or the reviews at the front, or your friend says, oh, you got to read this, but you're still going to, check out the reviews, and you're going to skim through the book a couple of times. You're going to make the decision. In this analogy, you're the book, okay? Your date's the buyer, okay? First dates and first impressions are all about your performance. I know that sounds creepy and weird, and I don't want to make you more nervous and everything, but share, tell stories, have fun, lighten up. Do not cross the line into TMI. Too much information. It freaks people out. They'll go the other way, and you'll wonder what happened. Okay? So you just have to kind of be chill about that. You have to be a little more cautious about what you're doing, who you're going out with, and what you're saying. All right. Here we go. I thought this was kind of interesting. Here's some sex questions from listeners. Ah, you just turned up the volume. Sex questions. You're on LA Talk Radio, by the way, and this is Dr. Michelle. You're on the couch still with me here. And if you'd like to email me and ask me any questions, just like the listeners did, and I'm reading their stuff today on the air, you can do so at docmichelle@aol.com. You can link onto my website as well. It's Dr. Michelle Therapy. Talks about making positive life changes, taking good care of yourself, things like that. And kind of unhooking yourself from being addicted to the drama and the dramatic people around us. I work with a lot of people and couples who have that as an issue, and it's really important. All right, let's get on with the sex questions from listeners. What does it mean when I fantasize about other people during sex? I don't know. There's nothing wrong with fantasizing about other people during sex. I mean, whatever works is my theory. I mean, if you've been in a relationship for a long time, and kind of things happen, people do that. But if you're thinking about someone else during your first or beginnings encounters with a person, then you're probably with the wrong partner. You know what I'm saying? Guys, you're with somebody and you're with them in the first part of your relationship where you're having a lot of sex, getting to know each other physically, and the whole time you're thinking about Pamela Anderson dancing on Dancing with the Stars the other night, and you're having sex with her, and you just met her, you figure it out. Alrighty. Dear Dr. Michelle, what does it mean when my partner always wants to have sex with the lights out? I'm not laughing at you. I'm not laughing at you. I'm recalling personal issues and some of the things people have said in the past. They may be embarrassed by their body. You know, by their body. It's not about you. A lot of times, I hear from a lot of guys and women in relationships that a lot of women have negative images about how they look. It's not that they look bad or anything. They just, because of a lot of, you know, standards we have to meet in society to look like all the models and all the celebrities, they have bad images of who they are. They think they should be Pamela Anderson, you know, or really thin, skinny Paris Hilton model people. So they're embarrassed. A lot of normal women, you know, in society, the more average-looking person feels uncomfortable being naked. So, I guess, I don't know if this is a guy or lady writing me, but what I would do is reassure your lover that you like her body. You know, that probably should do it. Just show her you love her, show her you're interested in her, and say, can we just dim the lights? I don't want it to be dark in here completely. I want to look at your pretty face. I want to look at you. I love who you are. You know, flatter her, give her compliments, and make her feel better about herself. I mean, that's what women want to hear, you know. And sometimes, no matter how much you tell a lady how beautiful she is to you and how wonderful, she has to work through some of these body image things too. But there, you know, that's a little answer to your question. You know, it's not about you. chances are she wants to have lights or sex with the lights out. It's about her own body image and how she feels. Usually, that's from what I've heard. All right, this is Dr. Michelle with you, and you have been on the couch with me today. We've been doing what I call Free for All Friday, and that means that, you know, we've been talking about a lot of issues that people wanted to write about. You know, and you can do so still if you'd like. You can find me at DocMichelle@AOL.com and, you know, ask me questions because I love doing this Free for All Friday stuff. It's really good for you to help answer questions. Feedback to some of these listeners' questions and comments, do so. I'd love to hear from you. Find me also on my website, DrMichelleTherapy.com. This is LA Talk Radio, best talk station on the internet. The biggest, too. Most listeners. You've been on a couch with me. I hope you have a great day. Talk to you next Friday live. Of course, you can download this if you want to rehear some of the information. Do take care of yourself first, please, because then you can be great for everybody else. All right. Have a good day. Bye-bye.